Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success.
That's right. That's what we do, help you plan for financial success.
Exactly. That's what we're here for today. Very powerful week that happened. We had Muhammad Ali pass.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's one of the legends. I love him. I got a wall in the back of my room, in my classroom, with a picture of him on there. And I met Muhammad Ali in 92 when he came here.
But really?
I was Kevin and Chris Baldwin. I used to be with Chris all the time. We used to always play one-on-one in basketball. I guess we thought we was going to the NBA.
Of course.
But we was playing every day, and I was over their house, and I can remember he was sitting down, and I ran when I saw him.
Wow, you're supposed to get an autograph, Chauncey.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, whoa. Because, I mean, it was like larger than life. That's somebody that's like a celebrity that was larger than life.
Oh,
and
yeah, he's a legend, man.
I remember that. And it's like, Mr. Baldwin is a legend in itself. That household, I love those people. His mom, Kevin and Chris and Kim Baldwin, them, they family, their parents were like, and I grew up in the projects. So, like, their house was like two blocks away from the projects. And it was like their house, the door was always open.
Wow.
You can go in the refrigerator. You could just chill. The kids wouldn't even have to be there. And Mr. Baldwin was just open like that. So I could see why Muhammad Ali was a good friend of his.
Okay, yeah.
Even when he stopped boxing, his career wasn't that long. Mr. Baldwin had that connection. Muhammad Ali just was like, that was his brother. Like, this is a good brother to have around. And just, it just made me feel like I wanted to be around them all the time. And whenever I see them out, I always hug their mother, you know, or their father. It's like, because they're legendary in this community. So I just want to give them a shout out for Muhammad Ali and just seeing who Muhammad Ali was. And that was my experience with him. I was like, oh, okay, that's Ali. He going to beat me up. But that just bring back some childhood memories to me. I think I was in the ninth going to the 10th grade that summer, I believe.
Okay.
But it was amazing to be around somebody that big.
Yeah,
you know, and somebody knows about him. He never had bodyguards.
I don't know why would he need them. Who gonna take on Muhammad Ali?
But I see boxers walking with bodyguards today. You see famous people that supposed to be like fighters.
Right. That's all for sure. I mean, like Odoo got his posse, Mayweather.
Yeah,
Mayweather.
The big old guys. He like their sons or something. Like they huge.
Yeah. Well, Ali walked in. He walked in a different vein.
Yeah.
And you know, he done things in a different way. And the things that he did, and someday this country will come to realize, he didn't worry about branding. He never worried about the kind of contracts he would get.
That's right.
Because that's not what he was about. He was about what he believed in, what he stood up for, and if it meant his life, his way of making a living, then that's what it cost him to do what he felt was the right thing to do in his heart.
That's
and,
right.
And money was not the driving force behind his decisions.
Yeah, it was one interview he did in the UK when they took his belt from him. And he talked about, he said, and I said this yesterday at our sixth grade promotion, and when you're at a certain point in life and when you're at a certain level and you got people that's at a different level looking up to you.
Right.
And they be like, and you know, he's funny. He has good humor.
Oh, yeah.
And
he
said, you up there, you there, and you're in this. It's not a high place, but he said, you were God and put you in a place where you're supposed to be humble enough to help people. You know, you're making these decisions, you make the right decisions. But everybody else that's watching you, they're like, no, Ali, don't do it. Don't do it, Ali. And he like, right. you looking down like, no, you won't understand because with the level where I'm at, I got to do this.
Right.
Like when he gave up his belt, he said, I don't want to be known as a boxer when I die. I want to be known as that guy that let them homeless people in this house. Mm-hmm. The guy that spoke at colleges. The guy that was able to build towards humanity. Talk about how I didn't fight in the war. Talk about those things. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's saying, that I live life high because I know that I was living for a group of people that wasn't getting recognized. So it was like people looking at me and say, come down, Ali. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't mess your legacy up. Don't mess your legend up. And then there's another thing about his star on Hollywood. On the Walk of Fame, his is not on the ground. His is on the wall.
Oh, really?
Like, you're not going to walk on my name.
Okay. Didn't know that.
So that's another powerful thing about him. It was like, I love that brother. And just was going to have an opportunity to meet him on the 27th for the Rise of Light thing that they were doing in Detroit. Was going to take some kids down. So, like, I'm impacted by that. It's going to be my second time seeing him and seeing what he left behind. But it's just – to make you think that he left something on earth to hand the baton to my generation.
Yes,
you know?
He did, man.
So I could see, like, okay, if I become at a level like that famous or anything, don't look at what I have. Look at what you can do for somebody else.
Right.
And my father used to always tell me that. Just say say what you can be for other people. Don't not for yourself. It's everything you do that's you empowered with, your the athletic ability, your finances, the things you do, is not for you. It's a voice for somebody else. You are doing. You a vessel. You're a time and a season. So I didn't want to seem that deep, audience, but I think that Muhammad Ali deserves that. Because I wouldn't be on the radio today if it wasn't for him. It wouldn't be no PA. It wouldn't be no 103.7 to beat if it wasn't for Ali speaking out. He gave many people opportunities to interview him, do things. So that brother deserved mad love, and that's why I'm just giving him a shout out.
No doubt, he was he was an ambassador of love. You know what I mean? And I'm glad you brought that up, Jonathan. That's it's right on, right on.
Yeah. So what we got now? We got our I'm still right. I'm still riding around with my king. The king. The king, king is still the king, king alive.
Oh my God, say mama, that goes that man.
He did a duck laugh. He did a duck last night. I noticed his chest was on the top of the backboard.
Oh yeah. He said the ball was supposed to go out of bounds. Yeah. He wasn't supposed to catch that ball.
He said his chest was on the backboard. That's what I'm talking about, the king. And then Curry had like 2 points going in the third quarter.
Right.
So they keying on him, and then Kyrie Irving looking like a off-brand Isaiah Thomas. He looking good. He showed up. So if he show up a couple more games like that, now we. But it's not a series. It's a series. It's like it's a blowout, or it's a swinger series when somebody else win on your court.
Right. Oh,
so
yeah.
Nobody else has not won on somebody else's court.
It hasn't happened yet.
So that and it's all been games by 15 plus.
Yes.
So now home court advantage is for real in this one. It looked like a game seven to me.
Tomorrow night is going to be huge because the Cavs can't give one away at this point in time. They got momentum, and I think Golden State came in and they said, you know what, we got them down 2-0. They're ready to die. We're ready to go ahead and put our foot on them. And I looked at the bench last night, and old Coach Kerr looked at Curry, and he asked him. I could read his lips. He said, are you okay? And Curry shook his head, yeah. But truly, he was not okay. I don't know what it is, but the young man is not off his game. And it's going to be interesting to see how these next few games play out. But I'm glad. We need a competitive series.
You're exactly right. You need it. We need it. J.R. Smith was on, too.
Yeah, J.R. played a great game defensively and offensively.
When that jumper stroke, that's Mr. Love is the only one absent.
That is the question mark. And they asked our boy, Coach, last night, what do we do when he comes back?
Yeah.
And Coach said, do I have to answer that question?
You got Shannon Fry.
He said, well, I'm not going to answer it.
Yeah, Shannon Fry. And you know Tyronn Lue, he a hooper, so he like, I don't got to blame.
Jefferson played exceptionally
That's
well.
That's right. Jefferson got bounced.
Jefferson made a lot Jefferson of difference
was,
last night.
Jefferson was nice at Arizona. I remember I went to Michigan State. I remember he had did a dunk on Michigan State, blew us out. It was Jason Richardson's sophomore year.
Uh-huh.
He came, he jumped and turned backwards in the midair, and he had that one leg up. I was like, who is that? He was off 2 feet. I was like, he jumped like Dominique Wilkins. That was Richard Jefferson. They ran through us, Arizona did.
Okay, yeah. I remember that year, man. Yeah, this kid played for 9 basketball teams, man. 9.
Who did?
Jefferson. They said that last night.
He's been around.
He's been on 9 basketball.
He played for Golden State, too.
Yes, he did.
He was on that. I think Virgil, the only player that can get a ring. He can get
either
a,
way.
He'll win. He might be point shaving.
But I did hear that if Cleveland wins, the players have to agree to it. But technically,
I think LeBron would agree. That's what LeBron
said. He was on the team for those X amount of games, and he's entitled to one, technically.
That's LeBron's friend, though. LeBron like Virgil. Virgil's a good buddy of his.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So I just wanted to share that today. We're just kicking up sports.
Have a little fun.
Yep, have a little fun.
Right side. Okay.
I got this book, man. I bought Tony. It's called How the Poor Can Save Capitalism. It's by John Hope Bryant. I'll give him a shout out. I mean, this guy is very powerful. He's done work with Bill Clinton, George Bush, and now Barack Obama. He has something called the Hope Network. And more specifically, when I was talking to you a couple weeks ago about shows that we can be doing, he has a component that they're talking about a 500 credit score community versus a 700 credit score community.
Interesting.
And I was like, and I heard him speak about it at first. I said, I got to buy his book. And see, when you get ready to buy somebody's book because you heard him talk, That means they are passionate about what they're doing.
They piqued your interest.
Yes, he did.
Gave you enough information to say, and I need more.
Because I work in that industry with helping people with their credit and their debt and their student loans. And I was like, man, he sound like something. He sound, he on a level. Like I said, Ali, come down. Like, I'm looking at him like, can I inbox you? Can I call you? Because he's talking about things that our community is faced with. And one thing he mentioned in his book, and we're going to be talking about it today in our show, is he talked about when you call in certain communities, you call the police, it's a police, and it's a fireman, it's a ambulance, it's all these things for in case something
trouble.
Happens. Something, when trouble happens.
Yeah, trouble happens.
But if I go in a bank and they give me, or if I go to a car dealership and I get a car salesman that's a shyster, and they charge me 18% on a loan, and they don't show me nothing about no credit repair or no credit restoration, and I pay three times as much for this car, and I pay $20,000 in interest,
right,
there's no police showing up.
Right.
Or if I go apply for a home loan, I get rejected in 45 days, where those police at?
Okay.
Will say, hey, you could have did this with this person. They could have got a Fannie Mae loan, or you could have did these classes with them. And it's like those services are not being advertised or are happening, but it's like people being robbed instead.
Oh, actually, financially, yeah. There's no consumer protection agency.
There's no consumer. Yeah, for those people, it's like take advantage of those people that's in a subprime group when it comes to their credit reporting. Subprime means like subpar credit, 500 to 600.
Okay.
So if your credit score is 500 to 600, I can guarantee you paying double-digit interest rates.
Okay.
Not principal. You're not playing. You're paying double-digit interest rate on everything you own. So you might be owning something nice, but then you'll be owning it for a long time before you pay it off.
Yeah, right. It takes you a lot longer to pay it off, and you pay off, you're spending a lot more money to pay it off than what a person with a good credit score would.
Yep. Something he talked about in the book was he mentioned, like, would somebody wash or rent a car? You know, like, would somebody, like, if you got rentals in the furniture, how would you take care of it? You know, like,
okay.
He said, like, when you're not in the mindset of saying that I got my point to self where I'm stable enough to own or do certain things, what would you do? And like the rental car example was great. Like, would you keep a rental car up? Would you wash it and keep it clean?
Good example.
Like, I'm going to keep this rental car sharp and nice. So, like, you're renting the car for the week or the month.
Right.
It's not even your own vehicle. So, like, why are you taking care of something that you rent? So it's just things to think about and just looking towards going towards ownership, because he also mentioned that we have a lot of check cashing places in our communities.
Yes.
A lot of liquor stores.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, I wouldn't say, at the time it looks like a buried diamond to me, where you see things and you're like, well, why is it not that way over here? And that's where the reflection comes in at with the 500 credit score community versus 700.
Okay.
700 credit score demands certain things.
Mm-hmm.
It demands a tax base for one, right?
Right.
It demands what else? You get the people voting. Too.
Voting.
Because you're like, my credit score is a certain way. I don't want them taking my money because I'm invested in this neighborhood.
Actively involved in the decisions that's going to be made by those in the political arena that's going to affect me financially.
That's right. So it's a lot of things that come into play that we really need to pay attention to, audience, and know that if we don't have a subprime community and we're trying to stride a 700 credit score, there's nothing wrong with seeking help and talking about it and going to those places to build it, because I don't want you being overcharged or overpaid, because there's no police.
None.
To help you. There's like, oh, I'm going to call the cops because you charged me this loan. That's 14 or 15%. But you said I got the car. And you advertising the car. Come on in. Just give me your check stub.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talking about what's the payment. They like, then they give you the number that you want. But then you like, oh, I can make that payment.
For how many years?
Yeah. Then when they put them terms in and them years in, you like, man, I'm paying for this. But it smell good when you first get in it, though. I'll tell you that much.
Well, you know, it's no different than the housing market was back in 2008 when people were upside down in the home mortgages. There are people that are upside down on their auto loans, okay? I've seen it happen where people come in on a car that's 2002 and they still got finance.
No, they not.
Ha, ha, ha. Yes, they do. They still paying on that mug, Doc. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's got to be a classic. They much better than this. They need an old school license plate.
Right.
They still financing a.
Oh, yeah.
They financing a Bentley or Rolls Royce.
No.
You know what I'm talking about. Something like, man, that's nice. How you get that?
No. Because some of the questions we ask when folks call in, you know, if, okay, they want an insurance quote, we say, okay, what do you need, PLPD or would you like full coverage? And they'll say, well, I still got a loan on it, so I need full coverage. Absolutely.
For 2002?
Yes, sir.
So what would full coverage look like on a 2002? So now we talk about 500 credit score community versus 700. See? So here we go. Now my credit bad now, and I want insurance on a 2002 full coverage.
Right. So we talked about credit score, but there's also an insurance score.
That's right. Yes, okay? It is.
Which credit is a component of it, not all of it, but a component. So it's not like they actually do a credit check on your insurance, but it factors into the kind of car, your driving record, if you had any recent lapse of coverage in the past, 6 months or year. All that stuff is involved in that insurance score, and that's what's going to determine what you pay for insurance. Yeah, the model year of the car has a percentage on the overall premium, but the major factors are more so along economic lines as far as your credit score, the tickets,
points on your license.
Your length of continuous insurance. If you have a whole bunch of, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and they're all lapses, see, that counts against you too. So that insurance score is very similar to a credit score.
Your history.
Because it's a number, and again, higher the number, the better the rating you get.
That's right.
So,
and that's what I got in front of me right now. I got a chart breaking that down. It's two kind of scores. Vanguard and it's the FICO score. And as I got a breakdown. The breakdown, I got a little pie chart, and it breaks it down in 35% payment history, paying on time. That's like 35% of your FICO credit score. That's when you pull that TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, you get that FICO score.
Okay.
So you got 35% payment history, Tony. Then 30%, the next 30% is amount and type of debt. That is very important. What kind of debt it is, that's another 30%. So you're looking at 60%, 60 to 65% of your credit score being what type of debt it is, the amount it is, and paying on time. That's it. Okay. That's 60% of your credit score. So sometimes you can go out and get things that you shouldn't get too much of. Like if you got too many credit cards, you got too many of one thing, your credit is. And it says it's good to mix it up. If you got to finance a car, you got a house, you got a couple credit cards, you got a retail car like a Home Depot or something. You got those things a mix, You got a mix of things. Then that will work for your benefit. But then, if you can have no debt at all, that's the best blessing to have. Be the lender instead of borrow.
Right.
Yeah. Write the check.
And
so
I think some on that credit card too. Don't the limit. As much.
That's right.
Has then, something to do with it.
Yes, with the limit. And what you want to do, and I said, like when I say payment history, I love this because some people are like, I got approved for $2,000 worth of credit. That don't mean you go charge up $2,000. That means they're telling you that you have a credit worthiness that you can pay off $2,000 a month on the credit card. So what they do is they look at your budget. And see, some people do this to gain points and mileage and all that. I used to do it where you get the credit card and you say, all right, I'm going to pay all my bills with my credit card. And then when I get my check, I'm going to direct deposit to the credit card company. Okay. The credit card going to pay my bank. So then now
I get these frequent flyer miles or the points or whatever.
So then now you're building this line of credit up. So they extend it. They'll build it up to $10,000, $15,000 because you're putting all your money in this superior credit card. But you can't have subprime credit and get it.
Nope.
You got to be in and I'm going to break that down later on. You got to be in a point where you're talking about 900, 800, 779, stuff like that.
Because I don't think like the everybody. American Express.
Oh, everybody can get that.
I don't think everybody can get the American Express.
I know you probably got one,
especially the black card.
I know you all. I know you probably got an American Express. I know you do. I'm working on that. I'm trying to get there. Because American Express means that you pay your bills. You pay all your bills, your business bills. And then people like that, they keep that receipt. And then they keep that tag. Like, this is what I spend in my business.
It's there great. At the end of the year, it is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I'm going through to that headache right now with some other stuff, with some business stuff. I'm like, I'm about to have to go back to that system where having that superior credit card and PIN. This is like, all right, here go my statement. This is the mileage I did. This is the gas I bought. This is the hotel rooms I stayed in. These are things I purchased for my business. There you go.
Every month. And then at the end of the year, you get a full year snapshot of how the money was spent on that card.
So then that's 60% right there. So now that's going to put you in a 750, 800 credit score range because you done got thousands of dollars, but you've been paying it every month with your...
Yeah, I think part of the requirement with that American Express
yes.
is you do pay it off in full every 30
days.
That's
right. That's what I'm talking about.
You don't carry no balance.
That's right, sir. So you're exactly right. And that's what credit supposed to really be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they make all these other ones where it's only $500. You could pay the minimum fee. Don't believe that.
No.
Don't believe the hype. No. From people that's from my generation. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe it. So then the next part, it says the length of time you've been using the credit. The length of time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you could be penalized for letting the car just sit there.
Yeah, because it's open.
Yep, you just got it open. Like, you don't buy nothing? You're not using it for nothing? No, I just got it on now. I'm just trying to build credit. You got to use it.
Or close it out.
The variety, I talked about this earlier. Variety accounts is 10%. So the other one with the length is 15. And then it says the number and types of accounts you've opened recently, generally in the last 6 months, or so. That's those inquiries. Well, see, when you have subprime credit, when we talk about 500 credit score communities, 500 to like 600, we got people that got 1,000 inquiries because they're desperate. And when you function in a sign of desperation, you just going applying for stuff.
Right.
Instead of really saying like, all right, I should have designed the budget, I should have did this, and I was able to build certain savings so I can have this amount here so I can be credit worthy. So mm-hmm. You don't want to be applying for stuff, because when loan officers and people see inquiries, they don't give you nothing.
No.
They're like, you got 25 inquiries on it? What you been doing?
Yeah.
I was looking at my credit report the other day. I don't have none on it. I'm like, zero inquiries. Because right. I'm trying to move towards what I told you. I want to be somewhere.
I want to get to that next level.
Yeah, I want to be there.
So it's like that commercial where you get your credit swag on.
Yeah, I'm trying to get there. So I need to get there. So when I'm sharing stuff with you, audience, I'm reading at home. I'm finding people that's on another level with me. And I'm not saying come down, like open the book, open the door. So we're not just sharing basic stuff. Then the next score we have, Tony, is the Vanguard score. This is a score that it says relatively new. And it's been around for some time now, though. But it's an upcoming entry. And it's a score that's filled called the Vantage score. And it's a Vantage score. You need 3 months of history. And it updates the last 12 months of your score. The Vantage score is a range from 501 to 990. So when you see your – and that's dealing with credit, period – when you could be at 500 or 990, that's a big difference on what you pay for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the Vanguard score is made up of six components also. So it goes payment history. Utilization is another one. What are you using? Like you said, if you're not using it, that's 23%.
Right.
In the Vanguard score. So the Vanguard score is a Vantage score is a much deeper score where they're able to say, okay, he using that.
Okay.
Every month you're paying that American Express off.
30 days.
You paying the bill? You paying the house? No, with that. You doing this? You doing mm-hmm. that? You paying everything? Oh, He's credit worthy. Builds up so many points with our company. Extend his line. Make it better, because he's not going to go over it.
No.
They just appreciate it. The next one is the balances that you have that you carry from month to month. So if you carry a zero balance, you charge some $5,000 1 month, but then as soon as the first come around, when your date, maturity date for that to pay it off is zero again, they loving it.
Oh, yeah.
So you're back up. It is the depth of credit. The depth of credit. How much credit do you have? That's included. The long history, the types of it. The recent credit. What you like, and let's go back to that inquiry. Like, you done bought all these things. You done got approved for a jewelry car. You done got approved for
Best Buy, electronics.
ABC Warehouse. You're like, why you applying for all this stuff?
Right.
So that's going to bring that down. That's 10%. And then available credit. That's when you say, debt to credit ratio,
mm-hmm.
C to T, you know, CTD, if I call it, credit to debt ratio. So, like, how much can you have that you got free and what you don't have free?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's when you say when you pay off that month to month car balances and things like that and just move forward. I think about that all the time when I buy something new, like a car or something. I'll be like, I can't wait to pay this thing off.
I know it.
Because I want to see my money.
Yeah.
I'd rather see it in my hand than somewhere else. So this is something to look at and see it. Going back to the breakdown of 500 to 700 credit score communities, I had a graph. I got a graph right here, and it breaks down what it has. And it talks about the population, the percentage of the population that has a certain credit score. Let's start from the top.
Okay.
So 13% of America has a credit score, a FICO score of 800 plus.
13%.
So how many people in America?
Wow. When you're looking at a scale of 100, I mean, 13%, that's a small percentage.
But they can get whatever they want. They might not need credit.
Right.
Being that's the 800 elite. Plus. That's the elite. They're using credit to make money.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, that's that group right there. That's the elite. And then we got this next group, 750 to 799. I can remember being at there one time in my life. I'm trying to get right back there. I'm right. That's 27%, Tony. I know that's probably you. You ain't say nothing. But that's get your age and things you do. You in that balance.
I would think so. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right there. I'm trying to get there. You one of my mentors. you got quiet. So I'm in this neighborhood right here, the 18%, 700 to 749. I'm right there on the cusp. Right
okay.
there.
That's okay.
So I fluctuate between the 690, 680, and the 700. I'm right. I'm right on the cusp. I'm moving. Okay. My age, the things I experienced, the things I paid off.
Yeah.
You know, things, how I consolidated my student loans, vehicles I paid off, credit cards that I paid off. So I'm there. I got a balance, a variety of things.
You got to eat the elephant one bite at a time. You can't eat the whole elephant at once. So you're doing okay. You're doing good.
So I look at this whole audience. I look at myself, too. So I'm like, oh, he know everything he talking about. He like, he don't have never had no problems. Oh, I got a beautiful wife at home, and I got a life that I had to live that, and life happens to me. So it didn't happen to me.
But you manage it. Okay, that's the key to this, is you manage the problems, the issues that come up from a financial standpoint.
That's right.
The problem is when you don't manage them, you ignore them, and they only get worse.
They only get worse. You're not lying. And you got people just waiting and lingering and lingering. And I'm like, I have some people been contacting me, though. They're ready to make a move on it. And sometimes you'll hear somebody, you'll talk to them and say, it costs this much. And they'll be like, I'm like, I did it. Like, it's worth it, brother.
Okay. Invest in yourself.
Yeah, in yourself.
Right.
You know, then after that it goes, now I guess to the subprime people. So when it gets to 600 to 649, it's 12%. So then now, after that, after 600, 649, it's like pulling, it's kind of almost to the point where certain items you got to pull teeth to get people approved. Like a car lease.
Uh-huh.
When you hear at 600, 600, they won't give you a car lease.
No.
They won't.
Not happening.
When I had a financial loss in my life, I built my credit up to like a 630 and I tried to do a lease again. It was like, no chance, we can't do it. You got to wait till you get to 700 again.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to wait. I had to move 100 points. And I'm telling you, self-esteem is one, love two, and this comes from John Holt's book. The third thing is, if I can add 100 points to your credit score, I can guarantee you'll change your life.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about that. So it's like, you can't lease nine. Like, you get 100 points. I'm like, okay, I know how to get 100 points.
Yeah.
So I probably need to share that on the next show or something.
Okay.
550 to 599, Tony, 8%. So them are the people that they trying to target. These are this right here. So look, right, then it goes from 500 to goes from 499 down. So you got almost 14% that's at the point where they can target you and charge you 14% interest.
Okay.
And then you're looking at the people that's at 600, they being charged 600, 649, they might be charged like 8%, 7%. It's in those frames, and I had those too. You got something you want to say about?
I want to add on to that. That lower tier of folks. So what happens is
that's that subprime group.
Subprime group. What they tell them is, you go out and find you a cosigner. Find somebody that's on the other end of the spectrum that's got a little stronger credit, and we may help you out. Okay.
But now, did you know that I'm not cosigning?
Okay.
If your credit score, I'm not.
No. For those that I have been approached, have thought about it, the words that need to come out of your mouth is no. Okay. And just continue to say no. Do not cosign for anything if it's not at your house.
There you go. If you can't control it being where you being at, don't cosign it. Oh, I'm going to cosign this car for this person.
No.
Please, you bet not.
No. You need to be driving it every day.
That's the day your friendship going to end.
Yeah, if it's your children. Not even if it's your children. Yeah. Your brother. Your mother.
You better off. They better off buying it for them and putting it in their name.
Giving it to them.
Yep. Be like, I told somebody, I said, look, man, like, what you need to borrow some money? Because I ain't put my name on nothing. I said, I'd rather have you borrow a large amount of money so I could just have you be like, because I know that I'm not going to co-sign because I can at least take you to court on the money you borrow. But I was like, when I co-sign, they coming after me.
First. They don't even go after the co-borrower no more.
Because my credit good. So your credit good, they like, well, I'm going to go with somebody with subprime credit. They don't got nothing to lose.
Right. I'm not going to waste my time, dollars or effort. We're going after the guy that signed on there that said he would secure the loan. And they are coming. So don't do it.
Now, you know I'm an educator, Tony, so I'm going to hit him with this. These are the grades for your credit. Now, if you want an A, that means your credit score is from 901 to 990. Man, Can I get some new friends?
That's a different neighborhood.
That's what they, what's the saying, Tony? If you would, you hang with nine broke people, okay, you're going to be the 10th
one. You're the 10th one.
What a 990 at? Can I, where you at out there in the world?
Oh, they out there.
I'm ready. I need a couple more mentors.
Okay.
I got Tony over here. I got some good people in the community that's mentoring me. I'm looking for 990.
That's right.
Where you at? Because I can guarantee you that he or she has some information to be like, you do this,
share
brother,
with you,
and it's free.
To get you better.
Get you better.
Because if you lay with dogs, you will get fleas.
Yep. There you go. The next one is our Prime Plus. 45% of the population is Prime Plus. That's a B. It's letter grade B, and your credit score would be between 801 to 900. Okay. Next one is C, letter grade of C. The top 70% of the population. So it's 30% of people. That's where you at. You at 70. So you got some people over you. You got some people under you.
Okay.
And that's a grade C, and that's 701 to 800. So somebody's like, I got an 800 credit score. You still in a C.
You're average. So that's what a C is, right?
Yeah.
When we're in school, average. You're average.
Okay. And it's like, when we look at average, like, you're not bad. Average.
No.
We're not talking about, like, oh, you got a C, you a C average student. No, you got a C. You got average things in your credit file. So it's not saying you're bad at it.
Nope.
But you just got average things.
But there's room for improvement.
There's room for improvement. You can do better. You can add some things. You can diverse it. Then it goes to D, non-prime. As we get to that, close to that subprime, that's the lowest 30%. That's 601 to 700. So that's a D grade. That's a D grade. You might need to add some more things to your credit report. See if you got some inquiries on that. You can get deleted. Some errors on that being taken off. A past history. Or sometimes people have credit reports that got two things on there. Then it goes to the letter E, no. There's no E. It's so think about it. You got an E on your report card. I'm a generation, the E generation, where you're writing the E on the report card.
Okay. So, and that's failing.
Yep.
I'm not.
That's failing.
Correct. Okay.
That's failing, like incomplete. So you, I don't know how you can have an incomplete credit report. You can have no credit though. That could be an E.
That could be an incomplete credit report.
No, yeah. I don't got no credit. Be like, how you function with no credit? Are you rich?
There are some that I know.
Yep.
They have no credit
at all.
They don't even have a bank account.
Oh, that's a different time problem. Right. I'm talking about somebody that's probably old school that got deep pockets. Like, well, everything out, yo, boy. My house paid off.
Right. You know, right.
That
right.
uncle that you can call, that granddad you can call, be like, oh, how much it is? Let me, I'll be back.
Okay. Yeah.
them people. So that's what I would think. That's the generation I remember when they didn't use credit. They had it in the safe or something in the house.
Cash. Generation.
Or they bought the trust, or they had the little bonds.
Oh,
they
okay,
give them to you for Christmas.
Yeah, bearer bonds. Hope they weren't the U.S. government bonds, but bearer bonds were a lot more effective.
Yeah. But, you know, they have them. Here you go. This is a Christmas present for you.
Like, right.
And I was a kid. I like, this is a Christmas. This is my granddad used to be like, it's $100. I'm going to go spend it. He's like, you can't spend it yet.
No, it's not 100 yet. It's got to mature.
Yeah. He said, you got to wait till you turn, wait till you graduate high school. What'd you give to me for then? Because I didn't understand as a kid.
Yeah, but that was cool. He was trying to do what was right with the limited knowledge he had about investing. But that's all right.
Yeah, but he had money, though. He had a lot of money. But he just was like, he always bought it, and that's the way he saved it. And the last one is the subprime group. We've been talking about starting the 500 credit score. The high-risk people. That's the high-risk where the banks say, you got a couple thousand to put down.
Yeah.
You can get that car you can put down.
Or the corner dealership that we finance here. Yeah.
You put down 9,000, we let you walk out.
Drive off with this car today.
You know what's gonna happen? I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. You ever see a sponge and you like you put some water in it and you're like, I'm gonna clean up this mess. But the sponge ain't big enough.
Oh right.
And I don't care how big the sponge you bring, and you keep on saying, wow, this water still left. So this is the analogy when you're talking about interest and principal. You're gonna finish on this right here, Tony. So we got this spill we spilled.
Okay.
Now I got this sponge. This sponge is my credit. Mm-hmm. So I come in and say, all right, here you could buy this much, Chauncey, for this much. Here go your sponge.
Right.
So my sponge, like, all right.
Put the sponge on the spot.
So my sponge is gonna be able to eat the interest that they give me. So if I'm at a 900 credit score and I go with this sponge, what size sponge you think I'm gonna have?
Oh. It's going to be a pretty dry sponge.
It's going to be big, right? It's going to be like, they're like, ooh, he ain't paying nothing.
Right.
He's not paying nothing. But if you come in with a subprime credit, you're going to be like, I can't clean this mess up. You're going to wipe it off, or you're going to put it in, you're going to drown the sponge, and you're like, man.
That's the principle.
That's the principle.
It never goes away. Never gets small.
Never gets small. It takes so long to get small. So imagine trying to clean up a mess, because that's what debt is. Debt is a mess.
Okay.
And when you're in debt, you stress about it. You worry about it. So now you got this sponge. You're trying to clean it up. And you're like, the sponge's not doing it. I needed this car. But, man, it's causing me more bills than what I really need it for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm better off walking. I could have waited and bought a car cash instead of financing this. Okay. So you got to look at the sponge.
Mm-hmm. Good analogy.
Ring it out and say, hey, let me build my credit. I'll come back and talk to you. And I want to be able to sustain myself and go from there. So I just wanted to share that today, Tony. I've been reading this book, Rebuilding the Path to the Middle Class. I'm a middle class person. I'm not upper middle class. I'm an educator. I'm a business owner. I'm an author. I'm here with my brother right here, insurance owner. And we're common people that you see in the community that work every single day.
Absolutely.
You know, you might see me in a suit. You might see me in a basketball outfit. You might see me somewhere everywhere, from the prison to anywhere. But the point is, I want to see 700 credit score communities in Muskegon and Muskegon Heights in an urban core, so we can turn those check cashing places and those borrowing payday advances to banks owned by our people. Can we just strive for that? That's what I want to see, Tony.
So, I'm with you, Chauncey.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and plan for financial success with 103.7 The Beat.